At least once a week, I will leave my house, I will get in my car, and I will drive to the church. I will park on the street, I will leave my car, and within 3 feet, I will remember that what I wanted to bring, I left behind. I did this just yesterday, Saturday. I came over to the church Saturday afternoon, and I wasn't even 3 feet from the car when I realized I forgot my keys. How do you forget your keys, huh? So, being a hopeful person, I hoped that there was somebody already here who would have keys to get me into the office. Well, there wasn't anyone here, and as I prepared to leave, my saviors came through the front door, our cantor Arletta Anderson and our guest artist for the hymn festival this afternoon, Dr. Robert Hobby. I was saved. Now, I would imagine that all of you have had that experience, and you know exactly what I mean about you leave, and when you get to where you're going, you've left something behind that you wanted. I am not brave enough to ask you to raise your hand and show me, because if nobody raised their hand, I would feel really depressed. One person I know for sure who left something behind was our Lord Jesus Christ. In today's reading, the first reading, we hear Jesus tell his disciples, "You will receive the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, Seattle, Bellevue, and Mukilteo, and to the ends of the earth." Mukilteo is for me the ends of the earth. When he had said this, the evangelist St. Luke wrote, "He was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Jesus ascended into heaven, but not first without leaving behind his disciples, leaving behind his witnesses, and leaving behind this promise: you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." The disciples were shocked. Shocked by his abrupt disappearance. We are told they just stood there, awestruck, staring into the heavens, minute after minute after minute, staring into the heavens. In fact, the evangelist St. Luke tells us they stood there so long that two guys in white robes with orange safety vests and hard hats, you know, the people who direct traffic downtown, a couple of those characters showed up and said, "Move on, move on. He'll be back. He'll be back. Of course he'll be back. Of course he will, because he left behind something very important to him." We know that because this morning's gospel lesson lets us in on Jesus praying to his heavenly Father. Jesus is having a father and son talk about the importance of those he is leaving behind. "Holy Father," Jesus says, "protect them in your name, these ones you have given me, so that they may be one, even as we are one." What Jesus is asking his heavenly Father in this prayer is to protect those he leaves behind. It is a concern that is not unfamiliar to us, this wanting to ensure that those we leave behind will be protected. Is that not why we get our affairs in order, as they say? We make out a will and whatever else seems prudent to do before leaving. For once we are gone, it will be left to our heirs to carry on whatever dream or vision we may have had. In the case of our Lord Jesus, he had this dream, this vision, that those that he left behind, his witnesses, would carry on the ministry he himself began. And in order to carry on that ministry, he promised the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, to be Christ's witnesses. That is what disciples, followers do. They give testimony, they witness to the one who has left his promise with them. Just this past week, there was an interesting development in the city of Seattle. We in the city of Seattle seem to have a hard time being of one mind. Divisions happen all the time. A new one last week, coming from the Seattle Police Department. You probably read about it or heard about it. A group of Seattle police officers filed a suit against the mayor, against the city of Seattle and the United States Justice Department over whether or not the new use of force guidelines made it impossible for these officers to do their job. Once again, our fair city is divided. But not only is the city divided, but the Seattle Police Department is divided too. Out of all the Seattle Police Department officers, it was only 123. And the union did not support it. We are a people who are bent on division, are we not? Look at the ways in which we talk about the country we live in. We divide it into blue states and red states. And how often have we experienced divisions in our own families? And of course, there is the church, our church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, our Northwest Washington Synod, and our own faith community here, our congregation. We are divided too. We get divided over everything from social statements to what color should the rug be in the library. We forget that the last prayer Jesus prayed in the Gospel of John was that we may be one as he and the Father are one. You know, you would think that after 2014 years of testimony, witnessing, it would have solidified the oneness of Christ's church. But today, the Church of Jesus Christ is more divided than it ever was. The testimony of the witnesses, those left behind, is often more accusations directed at other witnesses than it is a witness to Jesus. And many in the secular world look at the church today and find it to be unreliable when it comes to witnessing. Unreliable from denominational leaders to those of us who stand in pulpits on Sunday mornings, to the good men and women like yourself who occupy the pews. How often you think that you are a poor witness. Maybe you have not loved one another as Christ has loved you, and you think of yourself as a hypocrite. Some withdraw from being witnesses for they fear to speak up and to speak out because it will draw too much attention to them, and perhaps they'll have to be more committed. And the witness of some is the witness of exclusion. Even though they think they are being noble about inclusiveness, they are ready to turn away and even encourage some to leave if they do not choose the same groups they choose. What Jesus left behind and what Jesus prayed for simply hasn't worked out. And it hasn't, in fact. His witnesses would be considered a failure if it were not for this one thing that Jesus left behind. It wasn't wishful thinking. He actually left behind himself, his real presence with us. Do this in remembrance of me. What we do in Jesus' absence is about Jesus and not about us, the witnesses. What we do is we come together to pray, to break bread, to forgive one another as we have been forgiven. What we do is we represent Christ to the world, not to ourselves. We represent the crucified and risen Jesus Christ. We tell the good news, the gospel, the offer of grace and forgiveness, a grace that does not come cheaply, for Christ died to give us that grace. And we are one in him, as he and the Father are one, every time we receive the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the people that Christ invites to his table where he hosts are the most unlikely of people you would expect. The one thing they have in common is that they are all sinners in need of God's grace. For in receiving the invitation to eat and drink, we come to the table. We are united not only with Christ, but we are united in a bond with one another. When you share the peace of the Lord with someone, it is more than a friendly greeting or gesture of welcome. It is a solemn promise to that person that you are opening yourself to the healing and reconciling power of God, of God's love and grace, and that you are actually an instrument of God's love and grace in the world. You are saying to that person that there is nothing you can do and nothing you can say that will ever keep me from forgiving you. I don't mean to scare you this morning. I don't mean to make you feel hesitant about sharing the peace. But what you are actually sharing with one another is that promise. There is nothing you can do and nothing you can say that I will not forgive you for. The peace of the Lord be with you. You are saying to that person that you will love them, you will forgive them, and you will accompany them to this table and in the breaking of the bread. Bind yourself to them as you are bound to Christ and Christ is bound to us. Even though we have our differences over creeds and dogmas, over social statements, over the direction our church is going, as those who have been left behind to be witnesses, we are to carry the cross of Christ. And part and parcel of cross-bearing is to live with one another with those differences, trusting in that promised Holy Spirit and that power of the Holy Spirit to bear with us as we together go to this table with our differences, significant differences as they are. But the temptation is always to take a vote. The majority wins, the minority leaves. The church is not a democracy. The church is the body of Christ. Cross bearers we are. In time, God's time. And as the Apostle Peter reminds us in his first letter, with the Lord a day is like 1,000 years. Not in our time. Our time is a time of trusting in the Holy Spirit, that if we continue together to go to this table, despite our differences, the whole world will see us as witnesses. More than witnesses, they will see us as God's children. For Jesus himself said in the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, "By your love for one another, all people will know you are my witnesses." The people outside these doors don't give one rip about what we believe about this or believe about that. But when they see us struggle with our differences, and they see that we don't divide and that we love one another, and we are willing to continue to go to that table and to trust, they will indeed see and will say, "Look how much they loved one another. They are children of God." I should have quit a long time ago this sermon. I could have said to you what I wanted to say this morning in the single line of the first stanza of the hymn we are about to sing. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. For ultimately, this is what Christ leaves behind, his reconciling self. And this is the message of Easter. What is past is past. Today is a new day. God has gone up with a shout. And we who are left behind, we who are witnesses, are called to witness to the reconciling love of God in Christ for all people. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.